It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT HD WOGL HD3 Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. Yes.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, there's great news in the COVID Select Subcommittee hearing today. They are actually going to hold people accountable for all their lies they told during the pandemic. That's good news. Mayor Eric Adams calls out a paid professional agitator who's behind the Columbia protests. I've got great insight for you into who this person is. And former president and future president Donald Trump speaking right now at a rally in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Friday we'll be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I want to see you there. Since it's rare that Trump's on the campaign trail these days, since he's always in court, I thought it'd be good if we dip in for a little bit of his live rally in the must-win state of Wisconsin. I don't think he must win it. He can still get to the White House without winning Wisconsin, but it's certainly a state that is in play and a state that I think he's got a great chance of winning. Take a listen.
Crazy, is it? Are we crazy? They want to use a certain fuel in airplanes. You know, I bought all brand new, beautiful jet fighters. I rebuilt the whole military. They want to use a certain fuel that brings the jets back down to 15% less efficient. That's a lot. When you have somebody shooting at you on the other side, the 15% is the difference between winning and losing. So I said, it's 15%. That's right. Now, think of it. We're fighting over enemy territory. We're worried about their carbon content. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about bringing our people back and winning. We're worried about winning. It's amazing. Even in South Carolina, I visited where, by the way, we beat the governor by a record number, the former governor. They have a great governor there now, actually. But we did great. You know, in the primaries, we won every Iowa, no matter where we went. We won New Hampshire. We go to New Hampshire. We get the most votes in the history of the state of New Hampshire. And the primaries, Republican or Democrat. You know, Kennedys, and they're right up in that territory and all. But Iowa, we won the largest margin. Different. It's a caucus state. We won the largest margin ever by two. So we won the largest margin, doubled, and then we went to Nevada. We went all over the place. When we got to South Carolina, we won in record fashion. But we won in Nevada in record fashion. Every state we went to, we won in record fashion. And it's really an honor. And then we won the quickest that anybody's ever won. You know, right now, if this was like a normal candidate that you're listening to, or like a normal person, they'd still be campaigning. But we had this thing over with 2 months ago or something. So I just want to thank everybody. Just want to thank everybody. That was a great, it's a great feeling. Because there's something in the air. Let's say I haven't changed. And you know what bugs me? When they say, we have two very unpopular candidates, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. They're very unpopular. He's unpopular. I'm not unpopular. I'm like at 94% approval in the Republican Party. I'm not unpopular. The fake news. Oh, I hate that. You know, it's terrible. We have two very unpopular people running for election. I'm not unpopular. I mean, look at the vote we're getting. We're winning virtually every state. We're winning every swing state. We're winning every national poll. We're winning. We're not unpopular. I'm unpopular in China. I'm unpopular in some other places where we've taking in hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes and tariffs. No other president's taken in 10 cents. They're not, you know, in love with me, but, you know, I love this country. President Xi loves China. And, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? With Putin. Interesting. I ended Nord Stream 2. Nord Stream 2 is a pipeline. Nobody ever heard of it before I came along. I ended the pipeline going all over Europe, going to Germany in particular, but all over Europe. I ended it. It was done. Biden came in and he approved it. The biggest deal ever done in Russia. And Putin once told me, he said, you know, if you're supposed to be like a guy, a nice guy, I'd hate like hell to see you as a bad guy. You have been brutal to... Think of ending the biggest economic development job, the biggest thing they've ever done is a pipeline going through all of Europe. I ended it. Biden comes in almost from the first day. He let it go forward. And then they say, Trump is easy on Russia. No, I was very tough in Russia. I got along with Putin very well. I got along with President Xi of China very well. Got along with Kim Jong-un of North Korea very well. And you know what? It's really... Take it easy. I'll tell you, there's a guy I want in the foxhole with me. Where is that guy? Where is he? He's a rough-looking guy. I want that guy in the foxhole. We can keep it down a little bit. That's all right, man. That's all right. No, people are angry about it. People are angry. It's like stupid. You know what I say about the party? It's become, with me running it, it's become the party of common sense. Our party, it's the party of common sense. You know? They say, is it conservative? Is it? It is. It's conservative. It's just common sense. There are things that aren't so conservative. We want the party. We want to have a wall, which, by the way, we built 571 miles of wall. We were going to put up another 200. And they came along and they didn't want the 200 miles of wall. They didn't want wall. And that's when I realized they really meant they wanted open borders. Who could ever think? That's a lack of common sense. Why would somebody want to have people pouring into our country, unvetted, unchecked? We know nothing about them. Even from a health standpoint, they're coming in and they have problems. It's sad. But those problems are contagious. Other people will get those problems. Why would anybody want this? It can't be great politically. There are those that say two reasons, but you probably can add a third. They hate our country. They're stupid. But see, they're not stupid because anybody that can cheat that well is not stupid, okay? And the other thing is that they want those votes, you know? And you wouldn't think they could do them that quickly, but they're trying to sign people up that just got here that don't speak a word of English, that have lived in prisons and lived in mental institutions. They want the vote. But I think we're going to swamp them. Look, the way you win is to swamp them. I think we're going to swamp them. Crooked Joe is spending billions and billions of dollars on hotel rooms for illegal aliens. Think of it. Hotel rooms, luxury hotel rooms in New York and other cities for illegal aliens. And our soldiers, our veterans, are laying on streets and not being taken care of. I will say in the VA, though, in the VA, you know, we had the highest approval rating in the history of the VA, 92%. And now it's gone way down since I had something that, you know, if somebody had it, they would take months and months to get a doctor sometimes. You'd get on there, you'd have a problem. Sometimes a very important problem that if you fix it fairly quickly, no problem. And if you don't fix it quickly, you become terminally ill and you die. And people are waiting in line for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months. And I made a deal with Congress. I had to get it through Congress that anybody that has to wait more than 24 hours goes outside, goes to a local doctor. We pay the bill to get themselves fixed up. And it worked. And they're making that impossible. And then also with the veterans, and you have a lot of veterans in this state, it's a big veteran state, but also with the veterans, you know, it's not prime time necessarily for them. And they were getting beat up. We have sadists. We have thieves, sadists, but we had sadists that did bad things to our people, to our heroes, bad, bad things. And we couldn't fire them because of civil service laws and various other reasons. Unions a little bit, but civil service, you couldn't fire them. No matter what they did, they could kill somebody, you couldn't fire them. and they'd beat the hell out of our people. And I was able to fire 9,000 sadists and bad people, get them out and replace them with people that loved our veterans. And it was a whole different place, but it's fairly rapidly morphing back into what it's. I've seen it just the other day. I was talking to somebody. They say they don't like the policy where you go out and get a doctor. And we had negotiated fees with people because I know doctors. They know how to charge as well as anybody. We had negotiated fees. We actually could save. I mean, there's a scenario under which we actually saved money, but we saved lives and we made their life better. Could you imagine you're all rich, spoiled people? Not necessarily. You're all rich, spoiled people. Could you imagine wanting to see a doctor over something that you know is simple, but it's got to be fixed? And they say, we can't see you for 3 months. Could you imagine having to wait around for 3 months? Now, think of it. Just put yourself in that position. So we took care of those things, and we had the highest approval rating in the history of the Veterans Administration, which was a great tribute. Thank you. We had very good people there. And Joe Biden got rejected last year by the United States Supreme Court on his student loan program, so that what he wanted to do is buy votes. He says to all these people, a lot of people, I mean, honestly,
he's still doing it.
I'm saying that's billions of
people. Another announcement today.
He wanted to buy votes. So he said, we're going to cut your student loan. Now, the problem with that is many of the people here, but, you know, large numbers of people went through years and years to pay off their loan. All of a sudden, this guy comes along, and in order to try and buy an election, I guess I don't blame him, but it's very unfair. But the Supreme Court rejected it. So then he goes in now again with a little smaller version of the same thing. He's going to get rejected. And I'm just saying, I will take care of our students far better than him. We're going to take care of our students. We're going to help our students. We're going to make their life good. But what he did is so terrible. So he didn't obey the decision of the Supreme Court of the United States, and now he's doing another one, which is actually a smaller version, but it's even more bacocked. Okay? It's even worse. So it's really, it's a terrible thing, but he's going to be rejected there, too. But that's what they do. They do it, and it's very bad for the country. But we're going to take care of our students better than they've ever been taken care of before, I promise
Biden
you.
Biden announced another repayment today, and Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about it.
If Joe Biden wins this election, the middle class
trying to cover
loses.
For college students.
But if Trump wins, the middle class wins. The low income will start their journey toward the American dream. Wisconsin will win. And the biggest winner of all is going to be America. America wins. Of my new administration, we're going to throw out Bidenomics and we're going to replace it with Maganomics, Maganomics. And upon taking office, I will impose an immediate moratorium on all new spending grants and giveaways under the Joe Biden mammoth socialist bills like the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. We're going to save all that money. It's not helping you at all. It's not doing a thing for you. It's just like a political game. We're going to stop the Biden spending spree. We're going to halt his inflation death spiral. We're going to terminate his Green New Scam. It's going to be terminated. And we're going to end this war on American energy. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to bring down your energy costs. We're going to bring down your energy costs like you wouldn't believe. And by the way, that's going to spiral everything else downward. You know, that's what started inflation. You didn't have to be that good a student at the wonderful Wharton School of Finance to know that if your energy cost doubles and triples, it was going up like a level. Now he's gone more or less back to where I was in terms of drilling. He's approving. The day after the election, he would end that immediately because they have to get some oil out of the ground. You know, we have more liquid gold under our feet than any other nation in the world by far. We started off at number 3 and number 4. We were down in 3s and 4s generally, and we ended up number 1 by a lot over Russia and over Saudi Arabia. And we were doing great, and we were going to use all that money we were making to start reducing debt and lowering taxes still further. But he ended it, and then they did a crack course on let's do something. Remember, he took all the oil. It's the lowest level it's ever been. The strategic reserves. He took all the oil out of the strategic reserves so that people could fill up their car with tanks, with a tank of gas, and not get totally destroyed because it was just before the election. So he took all this oil. And it's meant for fighting wars. It's meant for major emergencies, catastrophic emergencies. It's not meant for, you know, helping to get the price down 15 cents a gallon so that
exactly.
you can try winning an election.
Exactly.
And now the strategic reserves are the lowest they've ever been. That tells you something what's happening here. To further crack down on rampant waste in the federal government, we're going to bring back presidential impoundment authority, which nobody knows what it is, but it allows the president to go out and cut things and save a fortune for our country, things that make no sense. And there's so many of them. We have so much waste. We're also going to reclaim America's heritage as the great manufacturing nation. And we were doing that. We were doing that. I remember when Biden said, well, this isn't a manufacturing nation. We became a great nation because of manufacturing. It is a manufacturing, but they've let other countries steal all of everything. When I was president, we brought thousands and thousands of manufacturing jobs back to Wisconsin, and I delivered a major shipbuilding contract to build a new combat ship. You know Marinette? Marinette Marine. Marinette Marine likes me. Everybody wanted that contract. I brought it to Wisconsin to build lots of, I don't know, 28, a lot of ships. And they were beautiful. You know what I called them? They were so gorgeous. I called them yachts with guns on them. They had more guns than I've ever seen. They had everything. But they were beautiful. I even helped design a little bit. I said, you got to do me a favor, change that bow a little bit, couple of bucks more. But it is beautiful, and they've done a great job. But we got it to Marinette, so that was very important. Everybody wanted it. Every state that did that kind of work, which is quite a few, they wanted it. Under Biden, zero manufacturing jobs were created in the month of March. You know that, right? Zero. I don't think that's ever happened. Zero. It's hard to do zero. Just weeks ago, Master Lock closed down. I used to use Master Lock all the time. When I was a little child, I'd take Master Lock, I'd go bing, nice, lots of nice little puzzles.
Well, this rally could go on for hours, so we'll jump out of this, and we'll keep monitoring it for you. Obviously, this could go till the end of the show. But anyway, lots to talk about today. We got to talk about, obviously, the campus chaos, and it's, as usual, as you would imagine, there are professional agitators behind it. I'm going to tell you about a person who is known as Professor Occupy. And actually, Mayor Eric Adams called her out for being there and for agitating these college kids who took over the campus building last night when the NYPD came in and dragged them out of there. So we'll chat about that. The impact of this on Joe Biden. I'm going to tell you something. These college kids, and I mentioned this for the last couple of days, they may not vote for him. They're calling him Genocide Joe. There are all these third-party candidates running. There's a comparison between Jill Stein, who's the Green Party candidate, and what she said when she basically said to all these crazy college kids, I'm with you. I stand with you. I'm coming to your encampments. I'm going to hang out. And the White House is not condemning this. They're condemning anti-Semitism, but they're not really condemning what you're seeing on the college campuses. And there's a big difference. Peter Ducey grilled Karine Jean-Pierre on this today, and she doesn't answer the question. And she also said the quiet part out loud, which is that, yeah, they're going to use student debt repayment to bribe college kids. You know, in the old days, we called it a bribe. Now we call it a repayment. But it's the same thing. They're doing the exact same thing. Just trying to get these college kids to vote for Biden by paying off their student loan debt. That's how worried they are about losing their votes. And Jill Stein, as a third-party candidate, if she gets on the ballot in Wisconsin, Michigan, and RFK Jr. is on the ballot in Michigan, he gets on the ballot in Wisconsin, that could be a major, major problem for Joe Biden's reelection. It doesn't mean that these college kids are going to vote for Trump, but they may just vote for a third party. And Biden needs all their votes. So I'll break that down for you. And there's a lot that came out of the COVID Select Subcommittee today on Capitol Hill, the origins of the pandemic. Peter Daszak, one of the absolute worst. He's the guy, along with Fauci, behind gain-of-function research. And so much came out today regarding the origins of COVID. And if you still think this might have come from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, you're nuts. All the evidence is there that this virus was paid for by our tax dollars and manufactured in Wuhan, and it got out of the lab. Now, how it got out of the lab, we don't know. Did it just accidentally get out of the lab? Was it intentionally released from the lab? I have my doubts that it was an accident. But unfortunately, we'll never know for sure because all the evidence is long gone. All the evidence is long gone. But what we do know is that, yeah, we made it. We made COVID. We made COVID-19, and there are still other viruses there. Viruses that are even worse than COVID. Way worse than COVID. Still in Wuhan, in that lab. So I'll share that with you as well. Friday, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, and I'm excited for that because I love the live shows. I told you yesterday on the show that King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, Phil Murphy, now accepting more applications for wind turbines along the Jersey Shore. These puppies will be 8.7 miles from the shore, hundreds and hundreds of feet tall, 8.7 miles away from the shore. So you will see them. They're going to be the size of the Eiffel Tower, and you're going to see him from the beach, you're going to hear him from the beach, and it's going to be an absolute mess. But he doesn't care. He's a masshole. He's not from New Jersey. He's from Massachusetts. He doesn't care. This is all about his political future. Quite frankly, Phil Murphy is one of the most selfish politicians on earth. And they're all selfish, but this guy is destroying the Jersey Shore for his political ambitions to get the Democrat nomination in 2028. That's what he's doing. So we'll talk about all that as well. But let me just play this this one clip for you. As we kick off the show here today, and Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, who said there is a movement to radicalize young people. I'm going to tell you in great detail exactly where all this comes from, exactly who's behind it, who's paying for it, and why this is not spontaneous protests, why this is all very, very organized and very, very detailed. So here's the mayor of New York City speaking today, cut number one.
When I first started seeing the protests take place in the city, it just did not fit right. I saw similar indicators from the Black Lives Matters march when it was brought to my attention that there were those who came to the city to disrupt our city. And she was able to, her team was able to conduct an investigation, and what I feared was actually materialized and actualized by those who were on the ground. And I know that there are those who are attempting to say, well, the majority of people may have been students. You don't have to be the majority to influence and co-opt an operation. That is what this is about. And so if we want to play the word police, you could do so. I want to play the New York City police, where we're going to protect our city from those who are attempting to do what is happening globally. There is a movement to radicalize young people, and I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it. This is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children. And I'm not going to allow that to happen as the mayor of the city of New York.
The woman he's speaking about, the professional agitator who was caught in footage by the NYPD last night and was heard on camera directing the protesters to do certain things, is a woman named Lisa Fithian. Hat tip to my buddy Michael Pelka for sending this my way. Meet Professor Occupy. Several years ago, Mother Jones, a far lefty kooky site, wrote a big story about her, how this is what she does. She gets hired by unions and by teachers' unions and other unions to come in and teach people how to organize and be radicals. And it's all about the radical revolution. And to the mayor's point about how a majority were not campus students and how these people are coming in from outside, same thing happened at the University of Texas at Austin. Majority of the arrests there were not University of Texas students. So who's behind this? Who's paying for it? And how are these agitators so professionally organized? That's the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. He's my buddy, he's my friend, and he's the master of dental implants, and he will give you the smile you deserve. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. We're coming right back.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so now that it's Wednesday, we are that much closer to Cape May, our live show on Friday. I hope to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's think about what we're watching here. First of all, hate speech is protected speech. Hate symbols are protected as well. We understand that. But when you start committing violence, when you start personally threatening individual students, when you occupy campus buildings, when you break windows, now you've crossed the line. Now you've crossed the line into something else. But that something else, which is illegal, Joe Biden is not condemning. He did when it was Charlottesville. He did when it was January the 6th. In fact, for 4 years now, he has not shut up about either event. For 4 years, we've had to hear about Charlottesville and January the 6th, the high holy day of the left, ad infinitum, over and over and over again. But he's not condemning what's happening on these college campuses. Specifically not. I mean, he's dodging it. He's playing word games here. They're condemning anti-Semitism, but they're not actually condemning what's happening. All right? So here's Karine Jean-Pierre, who was first asked the question, how come Biden I would do this one. What we're seeing on college campuses is not peaceful protests. But why don't we acknowledge what this is? Cut number two.
Okay, go ahead, Phil.
Thank you. Two quick questions here. You've made the distinction between the president's support for peaceful protest and, say, less than peaceful protest. I'm curious, what is the president's view? What is the view from the White House on some of these college campuses where we've seen the U.S. flag torn down and the Palestinian flag replace it?
What I will say is this. Americans have the right to peacefully protest within the law. And we have to also respect that we cannot disturb campuses in the way of taking over buildings in the way that we have seen. That is not peacefully protest. It's just not. Look, we have seen some really vile, hateful language used against the Jewish community, Jewish Americans in this country. It is a dangerous time for that community. And we have been very clear about what we need to do to fight that hate, but also condemn that hate. And so we're going to continue to do that. And as it relates to what's happening, obviously, the actions that colleges and universities are taking, obviously, it's up to them. They're on the ground. But we're going to continue to call that out.
And zooming out just a little bit here, not all of these protesters have expressed anti-Semitism, but some have. And I'm curious, does the president believe that perhaps some of these universities, that higher education has gone off the rails, that something more fundamental has gone wrong on these college campuses?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. And you said it in your question to me, it is a small percentage of students who are causing this disruption. And students should feel safe to go to school. They should feel safe to be able to have that all-important academic experience. They should be able to have their commencement and be able to have their families and loved ones show up for them on that important day.
But they can't. But they're not having that.
I wouldn't go that far in your question because, as I stated, and you stated, we believe it's a small number of students who are causing this disruption. And if they're going to protest, Americans have the right to do it in a peaceful way within the law. and we're going to continue to call.
Let's jump in here. Just jump in here. This is the thing. Okay, this is the thing, and I think Peter Ducey does a very good job of saying this. You know, why won't Biden condemn what's happening? He's condemning these anti-Semitic protests. Is it because he's terrified of losing his own voter support? That's what we're seeing here. All right. These are Biden voters. I've been telling you this over and over again. 100% of these people are Biden voters. There are no Republicans out there. There are no libertarians out there. No conservatives out there. These are Biden voters. These are crazy kooks, and they're on the far left. And yes, they're funded by George Soros, and they're funded by all these other people, including that professional agitator who I mentioned to you earlier. And I'll get into more detail on her and who she is. And you heard the mayor of New York say, you got people coming in from outside our city who are agitating all these people. So here's Ducey confronting Karine Jean-Pierre. Why won't the president, why the silence on the anti-Semitic protests? Take a listen.
And I understand that President Biden historically has spoken very forcefully about anti-Semitism. But this week, he's not. He's MIA. Is he that worried about losing the youth vote with these protesters?
I'm going to be mindful. You're talking about youth vote. You're talking about 2024.
No, young people.
I have to say what I have to say, and just give me a second. So I'm not going to speak about somebody's doorbell. Is that a doorbell?
Alarm.
An alarm. Okay. All right. And
easily distracted.
I'll speak more broadly. I can't speak to youth and support and voters. That's not something I can do from here. The president has taken a lot of policy actions here that he knows that young people care about. And a lot of those actions are popular with those young folks, whether it's giving a little bit of breathing room with student debt relief. We made an announcement today, matter of fact, and we are going to continue to do that.
All right, let's stop it right here for a second. Stop right now. This is the bribe. This is the student loan debt repayment bribe. But this is not Ducey's question. Ducey's question is the president not condemning what's happening in college campuses because he's afraid of losing the youth vote? And then she goes on a tirade. First of all, she gets distracted by somebody's phone. Then, because then she starts going on about how we're bribing these kids by giving them student debt repayment, and then how wonderful we are on climate change and everything else. But that's not the question. The question is, why is Biden not saying anything about these college protests? He didn't shut up about Charlottesville. He didn't shut up about January the 6th. He's saying nothing on this stuff. Why not? And you know the answer. The answer is because Biden is afraid of losing these college kids in Wisconsin and Michigan. Bottom line. That's the bottom line. All right, I know we have a guest coming up, so let me just take a quick break here. Before I do, though, let me tell you about our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They are outstanding at what they do, and I'm telling you, you want to go see them today because they have their renovation extravaganza going on at Cherry Hill Volvo, and they're going to take great care of you. Now, because, listen, renovations are a little bit complicated, and they're also doing work on the road. So Judith knows it's a little bit of a hassle, so to make it up to you, they are giving you some of the absolute best specials of all time. They've already have aggressive pricing, but now they're doubling down with their renovation extravaganza specials, spring specials, and so much more. And the renovation's really not a big deal. I was just there recently, picked up my new XC60. It was a great experience, and you will love the selection. They have a great selection of previously enjoyed Volvos, new Volvos, Volvos for lease. The S-Class made at their plant in South Carolina, American Jobs. The XC90 with that third row. That's how we're going to take the kids down the shore on Friday to Cape May. And also the XC40, the XC60, great midsize SUVs for all your cargo. You're going to love the experience. Most importantly, though, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios because relationships matter there. And she knows, Judith knows about how important the relationship is with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So go see them today. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
So the protests you're watching at college campuses across the country right now, they are not spontaneous. They are active. They are planned. And there are professional agitators behind it. There's money behind it. And I'll get into all the details with you as the show continues. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I want to welcome to the program AJ Edelman. AJ is an Olympian. AJ, you might be the first Olympian I've had on the show. Welcome to Philadelphia. How you doing?
Oh, I love Philly. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So you're an Israeli Olympian, and you were captain of Israel's Edelman bobsled team. And you also now rank third on the North American circuit, and you're also a writer and a commentator, and you wrote an article at the Daily Wire, which is why you're here today. But first of all, I got to tell you, man, in all my entire life, I've never actually met somebody who has done bobsledding. So this is a first for me.
It's a rather niche sport. Until a few years ago, I hadn't either, and I wouldn't recommend getting into it, to be honest.
Oh, really? How could I? I mean, it looks so fun.
It looks fun, it looks polished, but it is extremely dangerous and very painful.
All right, good to know. Good to know. I'll stay away, again, especially because I'm accident prone, so that's very good to know.
Now, it's definitely not the sport for you.
Probably no sport for me, AJ, but that's for another show. The piece that you wrote, you were at Columbia. You've been there. You've seen what's going on there face to face, and you have a story to tell. So first of all, give us the background on why you were there and what was going on.
So I've represented Israel for 10 years now in sport at the Olympic level, at world championships, all over the world. Part of my efforts in the last 6+ months have been, while we travel, and we've traveled about 7,500 miles across North America, has been to attend places where there is clear demonstrations against Israel, and to try to have a dialogue with people to understand why they are protesting and what they actually believe, right? To engage in a dialogue. Because I think that the primary issue that really faces Western society as a whole is tribalization, right? People don't think through issues. They just kind of associate with their tribe. So I wanted to create civil discourse to actually go and talk and educate people on why I represent Israel and why I think it's a force for good. I showed up at Columbia because I saw that there was these huge demonstrations and gatherings, and I just showed up just to see what would happen if I wore a head covering, a Jewish head covering, just being visibly Jewish. It did not turn out very well.
They shoved you to the ground. Is that right? Is that what happened to you?
They shoved me to the ground, kicked me in the neck. My neck was clawed at one point, and my kippah, which is the Jewish head covering, was ripped off of my head. It's not something that's unexpected. I mean, attending these protests, it's very clear that not only are they organized, well-funded, they are backed by a central group or groups of people, but they believe in what I think is a huge cancer in American society, which is the subversion of objective reality with subjective reality, right? I live my truth, and everyone's truth has to bend to my truth. Hmm. And if your truth is the only truth that matters, then achieving the end goal, everything bends towards that end goal. So violence against people is tolerated. It's okay. It's endorsed. Hate against people is endorsed, right? Everything that achieves your end of, quote, social justice or my truth, everyone has to cater to that.
Now, you went there to have a dialogue, and it did not turn out well for you, obviously. These people are not interested in a dialogue. And you also made a couple other points I want to touch on here. So first of all, number one, these protests are organized. This is not spontaneous. I saw a story that a majority of the students who were arrested at the University of Texas at Austin are not students. The mayor of New York made that point today as well. These are outside agitators who are coming in. I mentioned a woman earlier in the show who was there last night at Columbia, and she was known as the Professor Occupy. Her name is Lisa Fithian. Who else is behind this? Where's all this money coming from? And what is their intended goal here?
Yeah, so it's to me, it's very clear that so when attending these protests, it's kind of like layers. You peel back layers. So there's kind of the useful idiots on the outside. Those are these very privileged young adults who come from lives of no conflict, nothing. And they're the ones who are screaming and chanting, and they're being led by more internal layers. And the closer you get to that circle, the closer you get to, there's a lot of international students there, but the closer you get to the center, you start to realize that there is a nexus here. There's a nexus that's meant to destabilize and to foment whatever is going on. So it's kind of impossible without infiltrating the direct group to know who exactly is funding it? I mean, there's a lot of pieces out there that, you know, Qatari funds and charities that are linked to Hamas have a huge role to play here. But I want to push back against this outside agitator thing,
okay,
right? This sort of narrative that we construct for ourselves, because it's like so many other propositions when it comes to these issues. It absolves people of responsibility to say that there's outside agitators. When faculty of an institution walk out and link arms and prevent the removal of students from a student encampment, that's not outside agitators. That's
right.
That's systemic, right? That's part of the institution.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard today the students called children. I've heard them absolved of responsibility by saying there's outside agitators. At what point do you say that PhD students at a premier institute of higher education in the United States, at what point do you say that they're adults, right?
Right.
We talk all the time about what children can and can't do to their bodies. And it's suddenly so weird to me that breaking into a building, holding a janitor hostage, and then demanding that your revolution be catered or else you'll starve, right? That's childish, but you're not a child. You're an adult.
Yeah, I think there's a couple thoughts on that, right? I mean number one, yes, they're acting like children, but they are adults. They are acting like spoiled brat children. Number two, I think that if there's a notion that there are outside agitators involved, it doesn't absolve the people there of responsibility. And the third point is that, yes, you're right. This is systemic on college campuses, and it also begins in high schools and even earlier. And a big part of that is that there always has to be an oppressor and the oppressed. And in this case now, these students have been told, Israel is the oppressor and the Palestinians are the oppressed. And because that has become the Marxist model of education, that's the only way they view the world. They view the world in very black and white terms, oppressor and oppressed. And there's no gray area here. So there's no room to debate. I mean, do you agree with that assessment?
I do in almost all of it, with one very small caveat. The pointing to outside agitators is a way, it's kind of like how politicians will say that the protests were co-opted, right? Mm-hmm. They were peaceful until they were co-opted, right? Saying that there's outside people, of course there's outside people, right? You have a mass movement, there's always going to be outside people. But it has been used in a way to try to absolve, especially not the young adults, but to absolve the institutions of responsibility. So by saying there's outside agitators, you can say, oh, the institution, Columbia University, is not that problematic, right? Everyone came from outside and just made it look problematic. The reality is that in 5 months, in 6 months, people aren't suddenly radicalized, right? This kind of movement started about 6 months ago after October 7th. People don't get this way on a whim, right? There's an infiltration. There's an insidious infection in the institute that indoctrinates those who come to the institute. And I think that, you know, part of what I wrote in the Daily Wire piece is that academia is such a magnet for people who can't contribute to a market economy. And the U.S. is a market economy. And so if the only thing that you can make money off of is peddling a false narrative of victimhood and oppression, and that's mm-hmm. the whole thing. That's the entirety of your life. I didn't get ahead because other people held me back. Then that's what these young adults learn, and that's their worldview. So I say, of course, there's outside agitators. There's always outside agitators in any movement. But the reality is these young adults, these students, PhD students, these faculty, they're just hateful people, and they hate the system. They hate the United States. They hate the West. They hate Israel. They hate everything it stands for.
AJ Edelman is with me. AJ is an Israeli Olympian. He calls himself what's the term you refer to yourself in the Daily Wire piece, a professional Jew?
Yeah. I think after 10 years of representing Israel, it's kind of like my profession.
I agree. I think you and I are on the same page. I'm talking about larger groups, Soros, Antifa. I mean, other groups that are funding all kinds of different things that occur throughout the country. And very oftentimes we look at these things. I mean, the A15 protest day, that was very well organized. That was not spontaneous. People just shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, all that was, there was a website, there was social media posts. There are entities that are working very hard to ensure that this chaos occurs, and they're driven by something too. You mentioned the point about academia, and I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I often say this on the show. James Carville said recently that the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge, meaning that they've lost complete touch with the people. And there is a distinct difference in the world of academia, where they come up with phrases like Latinx, and they argue that a man can actually be a woman. And yes, they teach children that America is rooted in racism, white supremacy. And the goal, I think, is to tear the whole thing down. It's to just get to a point where we acknowledge that the founding fathers of this country were horrible human beings, and therefore everything that they wrote is horrible. You rip up the Constitution, you rip up the Declaration of Independence, and now you have to start over, and they can get their Marxist socialist utopia. I think that is their ultimate goal. And it's easy to sit around the faculty lounge and talk about why criminals are actually the victims of society's capitalistic oppression.
Oh, I completely agree. There is 100% a movement to try and subvert Western values and to tear down the system. And the irony is that it's kind of like this happens in oppressive societies, of which communism, Marxism, is an oppressive society. It's an oppressive form of governance. It happens in Islamofascism, right? The irony is that when people want to tear down a Western system because it's successful, and they want to replace it with the quote correct form or the correct utopia of socialism, Marxism, Islamofascism, the irony is that there are failed states that have done this. But people just want to come, they want to bring their grievances, and they want to tear the system down. So 100% you're correct in that there is a centralized movement and a concerted effort, the George Soroses of the world, that really would like nothing better than to tear down the very system that made the United States and Western culture so successful.
And they want to tear down Israel as well. And that's the Jew hate that you talk about, and you write, you're not new to this. Seeing the Jew hate as you describe it, AJ, this is not new for you. You've seen this a lot, and you've seen it from all kinds of different groups, and you name all the different groups. I mean, we always think of the Nazis in terms of that, and you said the Islamo-Nazis, which is an excellent term of that too. But you said you've also seen it from communists, socialists.
Oh, 100%. I think the interesting thing about Jew hatred is it's a very mutating form of hatred. So whatever grievance you have in the world can be laid at the feet of the Jews. And nowadays, in a world that's viewed purely through the lens of oppressor and oppressed, Jews stand as a refutation of that, right? So Jews are in the United States, a migrant group. In Europe, an oppressed group. In the Middle East, an ethnically cleansed group. Despite all of that, they have risen to the socioeconomic top of the totem pole in many cases. It's a direct refutation of the victimhood mentality that says that once a wrong was done to you, you're forever chained to that wrong. You cannot get ahead. It's this bigotry of no expectations that is responsible for all of this strife around Israel, right? So if you were born a Palestinian, what we'd call Palestinian, you are a refugee for life. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter where you settle, if you wanted to move to Canada, you, your children, your grandchildren, you're all refugees, right? So when someone is born and they're a Palestinian child, they have no future because they are told by the system they have no future, right? And that the highest calling that they can do, the highest calling for them and their families is to go blow themselves up, right? Is to go kill some Jews, right? But the Jewish people have gotten ahead because of a rejection of the victimhood narrative. And so I think that's what bothers so many of these, sort of communist students or oppressed narrative students, is that the Jews are a direct and clear refutation of everything that they believe in.
AJ Edelman, I appreciate it. We'll post a link to your piece at the Daily Wire. Thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for talking me out of getting involved in bobsledding. I appreciate it.
I'll take you down the track if you ever want.
Thanks, AJ.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.